This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We are post-Super Bowl, but, you know, football season never ends. We got the NFL Combine cranking up next week to help us talk about that and the upcoming NFL Draft. Eric Edholm, lead draft writer for NFL Media. Thank you so much, Eric, for the time. How you been doing?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
Doing great, man. You stirred the pot down here for sure the other day, putting out your article with Shedeur Sanders, landing spots, seven teams likely to pick the Colorado QB, and putting the New Orleans Saints in that number. Tell us about that.
Yeah, all right. There's this little thing we do where it's the off season and we kind of, you know, cast some ideas out there and see what sticks. I mean, we're at the point in the off season where we don't have a lot of information about what the Saints' plans are right now, right?
Right.
And they have to create some plans because there's a lot of work to be done that affects the offense, the defense, the quarterback position, you know, all these things. There's, you know, you know, as laudatory as Kellen Moore might have been about Derek Carr, he also didn't say, yeah, he's my week one starter. They haven't, you know, proclaimed that yet. So that leaves the door open. I mean, obviously, if you look at the reality of the situation and some tough cuts coming and some free agents walking and, you know, a little bit of a reboot here, then I think you have to at least consider the first round quarterback option. But I also admit that that's not the most likely spot.
Yeah, and I guess with Shedeur, he's probably the guy in the top half of the first round that I have the least idea of, okay, where might he go? Because, you know, we're talking about, hey, could he be there at 9? Yeah. Could he go at 3? Yeah. Could he go in the second round? Yeah, I genuinely don't know. I'm just curious, what's your read on what his draft stock actually is? Because this is the time of year where I feel like there's like a lot of noise about like, oh, he's a first rounder, he's a second rounder. And then suddenly it's like, oh, okay, Bo Nix is going 12th overall. And I didn't see that coming 3 months ago. So where are you at? Where are you on Shedeur right now?
Yeah, and I think just as parallels, and I'm not comparing them as prospects, a couple years ago in the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis draft, it was sort of viewed as if those two were the top two guys. Now, clearly there was enough suspicion with Malik where he ended up falling around 3. I mean, there were plenty of people who had him in first-round mocks, and, you know, I'm trying to think of the other one. Yeah, Will Levis. You know, Will Levis was a guy who populated the top 10 of some people's mocks, ended up going 33rd. So, yeah, like if you told me right now, I can look into the future and tell you Shedeur is going to be a second-round pick, it wouldn't be the most stunning thing of all time. So that's the other thing. I mean, yeah, I think there's a good chance he could go in round one, given how many teams right now appear to need quarterbacks. But what if, you know, there's some creative movement and maybe one or two promotions from within where, you know, the jobs suddenly dry up. It wouldn't be stunning if he ended up slipping. So, yeah, that's just – his stock is hard to read right now because he doesn't have super physical traits. We're going to the combine, and, you know, that's a little bit of a showcase for that. You know, there's a sort of question about what Deion's influence is, and I think that most people have come away with really positive impressions when they meet him. They think he's a grounded guy. His game shows some maturity to it, but – we still have to answer some of those questions.
You mentioned Kellen Moore's press conference. Definitely wasn't committal on quarterback Derek Carr. Said glowing things, though, about Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara. Just curious, yeah, though, as a whole, what did you think about the hire for the Saints here? I know he's got a ton of work to do to clean up the situation in New Orleans. But overall, the coach, Kellen Moore, what do you think he brings to the black and gold?
Well, my first personal interaction with him was doing a story on him and some people when he was the backup quarterback, and he was even on the coaching staff at the time. It started with a story about he at one point was the last left-handed quarterback to throw a touchdown. Now, two has come into the league and other guys, but we went like 3 or 4 years, so it started with me doing a story about that, and then while I was down there talking to other people, everybody said, "You realize you're talking to a future NFL head coach here." And I was like, you know, sometimes you hear stuff like that and you kind of, you know, in the back of your mind, roll your eyes a little bit. But you heard it from different people, and obviously his dad having, you know, a legendary high school resume and sort of growing up in that environment, football family, right? Kirby doing good things at Mizzou and, you know, the whole bit. I mean, this is in their blood. It made sense. You know, this wasn't just sort of people saying that for a good quote in a story. And, you know, you saw his fast ascension through the ranks and obviously the difference he and Vic Fangio made as coordinators for that Eagles team. They were no less talented last year. Obviously they made some sharp moves in offseason, but everything like that. But yeah, I feel like his presence obviously took them to a different level, even with, you know, Saquon added and things like that. But you know, he seems sort of built for the job, and this is going to be a tough test, even in a division where you can, you know, maybe steal some games and be competitive.
Yeah, and obviously the news that came out today that they're hiring Brandon Staley as defensive coordinator. I think anytime you hire a former head coach on your staff, it's going to, you know, draw some attention. You know, Brandon, they obviously worked together with the Chargers. It's kind of fascinating when you look at a situation where, hey, I'm the head coach and I'm hiring you as my offensive coordinator. 2 years later, you're the head coach and you're hiring me as your defensive coordinator. You know, Doug Nussmeier is also on that staff as well, has been following Kellen around. He was also on that Chargers staff. Brendan Nugent from that Chargers staff is coming over. So a lot of familiarity with those names. Just curious, what are your thoughts on Brandon Staley as a defensive coordinator in the NFL?
Yeah, obviously, you know, his head coaching tenure, you know, had some rough moments to it and everything. But, you know, there was real optimism when he started there, and I think there was some real energy there. And nobody doubts his credentials as a defensive mind. And, you know, I think, you know, we've seen it before where a hot coordinator, offensive or defensive, gets elevated to that position. They get thrown into the head coaching job. They stumble. And it takes, like, sometimes 5 years. Sometimes those car washes can be a little faster, but sometimes these guys have their reputation hit a little bit, even if they're no less a coach than they were before. You know, even if that, they might be better going through those experiences and getting humbled a little bit and taking a step back and what do I need to do better and how do I, you know, improve on this. So, like, people I know who have talked to him say this is still a good football coach who, you know, deserves to be in one of these positions in the NFL. So, yeah, it was one of those moves that everybody kind of called right away. It made sense, and yeah, I think they're building a little camaraderie and a little chemistry on that staff, as you said.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eric, looking at the combine that's going to be starting up next week, we all know the studs that are, you know, the big names in this draft, but there's always those guys that end up performing well in whatever, you know, aspects of the game that they're, you know, going through on the field at the combine. And then, you know, they've got to go through the interview process as well. But what are some of the guys you think that maybe not so much the main focus on the radar right now that have a really big chance to boost their draft stock going into that NFL combine we're going to hear a lot about next week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's anyone that's going to beat Xavier Worthy this year. I'm pretty sure there's not. You know, we may not have that kind of a performance. It's more going to be about the explosiveness. This is what I suspect of the defensive line group. And that's both the interior guys, how well they move for their size, and then also the edge guys. And I think those are two positions, just from my vantage point, that, you know, Saints fans may want to consider, just given who might be cut and, you know, what's left over and how you put a team together. It's, you know, the lines of scrimmage. So I think those are two spots that, you know, once the dust clears, the Saints can look at. And I think it's going to be a spot that we'll be talking about next week quite a bit. Abdul Carter, obviously, probably out of range for the Saints, but he's kind of leading that group. And the fascinating name and somebody who could be in play maybe in New Orleans, just sort of throwing it out there. But Jalen Walker from Georgia is just an explosive, you know, like shot out of a missile kind of pass rusher and pursuer. He plays off the ball. But, I, you know, when you see how he attacks the quarterback, it's hard not to think he's going to have that ability in the NFL and be featured in some way. I mean, he's a special defensive talent, but you have to have the right scheme and the right coordinator to use them correctly. But I think he's going to put on a show. The whole Georgia crew might, actually, and Shamar Stewart from A&M. You know, but Mikel Williams is the other Georgia guy I think is going to work out well. James Pierce from Tennessee as well. So, yeah, that's a big group on the edge. And then on the interior, I think also there's a few guys that really kind of stand out. Mason Graham is not going to be the best athlete. He's just the best player there. Maybe in range for New Orleans, but also some big guys from Michigan. Kenneth Grant, he's a freak at 340 pounds. Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. You know, these are players who are all reasonably possible in the top 10 with a great workout. Derek Harmon. So, yeah, I think the D-line and the edge group is really going to be the big takeaway from this event, but also, you know, Travis Hunter and a few other fascinating stories, quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, and you mentioned most of the names there, like I was going through mock drafts today, and a lot of people have edge rusher going to the Saints at 9, but it's everyone has a different name, and it's funny to see, you know, Nick Skelton, Shamar Stewart, Mikel Williams, Jalen Walker. You know, all four of those guys, you know, two, they're from Texas A&M, Georgia, but like, okay, one of them's a top 10, maybe not. One of them's top 10, maybe not. A guy that I've seen pop up a few times, and I don't know if people are as familiar with him as they should be, because he went to Marshall, is Mike Green. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on Mike Green as a prospect? Because, you know, I think he's going to get held back a little by just, you know, the thundering herd of it all. But I think anyone who watches him play is like, oh, this is a elite pass rush prospect.
Yeah, I would say the way I would describe him, a little bit of a stretch, but he's the Quinyon Mitchell of pass rushers, meaning, you know, we saw Mitchell slip in the draft last year, a MAC guy. had a phenomenal Senior Bowl, tested exactly how you'd want it, looks the part, the tape is great. You know, should have been one of the easiest prospects to grade last year. Instead, they let him go all the way down to Philly at, what, 22 or whatever it was. I can't remember now, but, you know, that, looking back, that was ridiculous. I felt like he was a top 15 pick all day, just like I'm starting to think that Mike Green is in that same range too. Okay? Having watched him in Mobile, he had some dominant reps, and there was some question about the length. You know, he's more of a broader guy than he is long. So interesting sort of body composition, but boy, he's got the pop and also the kind of the juice too. And, you know, he gave it to Josh Connerly, possible, you know, top 40 pick offensive tackle. He worked the Arizona kid, who was another in that same range too, and just had a great week and said, all right, I'm pretty good with my draft stock. I'm out of here. So, yeah, I think he's definitely one of those candidates to be in that, you know, back end of the top 10, early, you know, top 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing about the combine is he went out there, blew up Josh Connerly, and like George Costanza, like, I'm going, I'm done. I'm leaving on a high note. You know, so the last year, and this has kind of become a trend where a lot of the top prospects kind of bow out of the workouts, or at least we saw that last year with a lot of names. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't work out. A lot of the quarterbacks. Is that going to be a thing? Are we going to get to next week and be like, oh, what did he do? I didn't work out. You know, with all these guys, or was that kind of a one off? What is your kind of read on that?
Talking to some agents last 4 or 5 days. There are definitely, like, I've heard names from other agents, so I'm not going to just spout the big one, you know, but the talk is that there are some very recognizable names, you know, even the amateur draft folks and the people who are just kind of getting into the process will recognize. So that's a pretty big hint right there, who aren't going to run 40-yard dashes or aren't going to do this or that. So I think, unfortunately, the trend will continue. I mean, I say that as knowing that it's one small element of the entire draft process, right? It also makes for great TV. You know, what was worthy? I mean, last year was epic, but we understand that each prospect has their own decision, their own path, their own, you know, choices they make as far as how they handle it, and that's fine. You know, that's going to be how they want to do it. Not my call to make, but yeah, I think there's going to be some guys skipping some of that stuff, and you know, we'll see if it's as big as last year was or if it's sort of on the same level as that. And then if it's trending in the wrong direction, you know, that's when people start getting worried about the event and start asking big questions about what is the future of the combine.
Yeah, and it certainly didn't hurt the draft prospects for Marvin Harrison or Jaden Daniels or any of those guys. So, yeah.
Did okay for themselves, yep.
Eric, definitely appreciate you carving out some time for us on a Friday. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric Edholm, lead draft writer for NFL Media. Got the combine cranking up starting Thursday in Indianapolis.